This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
On ice intros and the national anthem and all that good stuff taking place down at PPG Paints Arena. Pens and Lightning coming up here in a few minutes, just as ace producer Joel Nelson said in his fan headline. All right. Joining the show, PennLive.com's Nick Faribault covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick, thanks for holding on for a couple of minutes. We had some very passionate callers in the last segment talking about this game against the Browns. We'll start it there. I'm in the camp of if the Steelers really want to prove to fans and the rest of the league that they can compete and win a couple of playoff games and put a run together, I think they should win this game in convincing fashion. I want to ask you what the likelihood of that you think is and if there are any areas that might present challenges to the Steelers of trying to win this game by two possessions or more.
Well, I will say I don't think this is a non-talented 2-8 team. You know, there are some bad teams that just lack talent. I think the you look at the Browns team, it's really not a dissimilar roster from what they had last year. It like the playoff team is very similar, right? Still have David Njoku, Nick Chubb's back. You got a nice wide receiver core that doesn't have Amari Cooper anymore, but Cedric Tillman stepped up, right? Elijah Moore's playing better. Jameis Winston's like the old gunslinger. Like, there's not a lot of people that are like Jameis Winston around the league anymore. He just literally is an old-fashioned gunslinger. And then their defense is the defense. They have Myles Garrett. They have Denzel Ward. They're missing JOK. So I think there's talent. So I think what I'm trying to say to you is if they go napping into Cleveland, they can lose this game very easily. I mean, listen, this team beat Baltimore on this very field they're going to go to. So the team the Steelers just beat lost to Cleveland. And Jameis Winston's one of those players that one week he can look terrible and unstartable, and the next he can look like a top 10 quarterback. You know, he catches fire. They can put up 30 in a hurry on you. So that's going to have to be something they're going to have to worry of. So I just think that is that collective. And then the circumstances, right? I think the fact that it's Thursday night, coming off the Ravens win, coming off two very physical games. You know, that Commanders game was physical. Then you have this Ravens game that's super physical on short rest. Having that circumstance, I think, does put you at risk for a letdown, right? It's a short week. Maybe you overlook it. Your team's really banged up. And so I think there are some circumstances when you're facing a divisional rival like the Browns. The Browns are not obviously going to lay down, and they have certainly enough talent to wreck the game on both sides of the football for you. And so I think that is where the letdown comes in. There is, in my opinion, though, when you look at the rosters of these two teams and you match them up, there's no reason the Steelers should not win this game, Jack. I mean, on paper, the Steelers should win this football game. You know, this is a Browns team that runs a lot of man coverage. So you should be able to have moonball chances to George Pickens and Mike Williams and others. It is a run defense that does not do very well against teams like the Steelers, who have this multi-dimensional run game. I think that, to me, is, you know, really important. The Steelers run the football well in this game. But again, they're going to be beat up in the trenches, right? That O-line just went to war with the Ravens. And the D-line went to war with the Ravens. So could that be something that hurts them? But you look at, you know, the Steelers' pass rush, they should be able to get pressure on Jameis Winston. And in the secondary, as long as they play up to what they do, they should be able to handle this group. But I think, you know, still being scared of guys like David Njoku and is definitely a reason, right? Nate Njoku is one of the best tight ends in the NFL. He can take over a game. Even though Nick Chubb, you know, is I think only in his fourth game back, he's a guy that's getting his feet wet, right? He's starting to get back to being Nick Chubb. I think that's something to watch out for. And then they have three receivers, as I said, Judy, Tillman, and Moore, that are legit enough that they can hurt you. And they have a defense with guys like Denzel Ward and Grant Delpit, with Myles Garrett. They have a defense that if you are not careful, if you do not play up to your standard, they will hurt you. They can create turnovers. So keep an eye on it. But as I said, on paper, with all those other kind of things that we talked about notwithstanding, the Steelers should win this game, but we'll see.
Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. He's with us now. He's with us on the fan hotline. Taysom Hill ran crazy against the Browns. Nick, what are the odds that Justin Fields might be able to do the same? And did watching what Taysom Hill did to Cleveland maybe say to Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin, like, we might have to sprinkle in number two because of, you know, what the Saints just were able to put together?
I wouldn't be shocked if they try to do something like that, but I think the Steelers are probably just going to be – the Steelers should be able to just run this ball, you know, with Russ back there and Najee, Jalen, and Cordarrelle Patterson going at it. I would be more interested in them kind of breaking out the Justin Fields package in the red zone this week. I think that's where they should do it. You know, Taysom Hill is a little different than Justin Fields just because of what Taysom Hill does, right? He's not just a guy that gets a snap in the backfield and runs it. He's a receiver. He's a tight end. He could be a fullback. Justin Fields is never going to do that. He's going to be a quarterback that can maybe throw as well as run. So it's going to be a little different. And I'm almost wondering, you know, with the Steelers kind of revealing that Justin Fields package, you kind of have almost an incentive to not run it as much. And the reason I say that is because I'm sure that the Browns are almost going to over-prepare on a short week for that, right? They just got torched by a quarterback like that, Taysom Hill, that had Taysom Hill packages. They're going to prepare for Justin Fields. And so you almost wonder if there might be more opportunities for Najee Harris or Russell Wilson to hit him over the top because they might be more focused on that run game and that element of it. So we'll see. I think that they're going to use a little bit of Justin Fields, but I don't expect it to be this somewhat overbearing usage of it.
Joel, you want to ask your question about the Browns defense?
Yeah, so Nick, obviously that big game for Taysom Hill on what's otherwise an underwhelming Saints team who still put up 35 points on the Browns. So are there any other parts of Cleveland's defense that seems to be, you know, kind of vulnerable, or like what other parts of their defense can the Steelers take advantage most on Thursday night?
Yeah, those linebackers without Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah are very attackable. I mean that from a pass game standpoint, but I also mean that from a run game standpoint. You know, you have a few guys in the trenches there for them that could hold up, but the Steelers' run game has kind of worked. You know, they gave the Ravens a bit of trouble there up front. So they can definitely exploit that. The linebacker play that the Browns have received in recent weeks has just been putrid. Their secondary hasn't been very interested in tackling, so I would want them to prove that too. So I would lean heavily into the screen game. And I especially would do that because look at the weather and what it's supposed to be, right? That 40-degree windy sleet kind of mix. It's going to be really inclement in Cleveland on Thursday. So I would really lean into the running the ball. And then I think, Joel, I think the undersold weakness, it's a good secondary. I like Greg Newsom. I like Martin Emerson. I like Denzel Ward. It's a good trio to have right there as your corners. And I like their safety duo in Juan Thornhill and Grant Delpit. But they play so much man coverage. They have really bad communication on the back end for a group that has been together for so long. It doesn't make much sense that they would be. They're really aggressive and try to get after you with blitzes, and they play a bunch of man behind it. And what I'm trying to say is that sure sounds a lot more like the New York Jets than the Baltimore Ravens in a lot of ways, and what they run. And when Russ sees a lot of man coverage, man, he's just able to float those balls and give his playmakers chances. I think that is a really big thing for the Steelers. And not only is he able to float the ball up and get it to Mike Williams or George Pickens or Pat Freiermuth or Darnell Washington or whoever, it also makes them a significantly better red zone offense, because I think Arthur Smith is comfortable calling plays beating man coverage. He's less so against zone coverage. So I think those are some weaknesses to attack the linebacker play. But I do think the secondary, despite being what should be probably the strength of the unit, has underperformed. And their schematic matchup kind of matches up with what Russ does really well.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's plus trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. On it now, Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. You brought up Russ. The stat line wasn't great for him on Sunday. Do you think maybe that he took a step back, or is there still, you know, a lot of confidence in him being able to be the guy? Obviously, you know, a 4-0 record as the Steelers starter, but was there, you know, flaws in his game that you think maybe might be or have the potential to kind of snowball?
Well, that looked a lot more like 2023 Russ than what we had been accustomed to seeing, because he held onto the ball so long. And I had a lot of people telling me how bad the pass pro was from the Steelers O-line. Go back and watch the game. It really wasn't that bad. A lot of the sacks were, you know, with over 3 seconds. We're talking like 3.3 seconds. Like, the ball's got to be out. Whether it's a throwaway, whatever. Russ just did not look comfortable in the pocket. And, you know, this 35-year-old version of Russ has to be a pocket operator. He's not a guy that can do the Russ ball magic all the time anymore. He can obviously do it because we've seen him do it at times, but it's not where you want to live it. And I just think, you know, what we saw on Sunday, Jack, is we just saw Russ running around playing backyard football too much, not getting the ball out in structure as much. And I think that's something he had done, you know, throughout the first three games. And I understand the Commander stat line wasn't as pretty, but you go back and watch, he was getting the ball out. It just, the connections weren't there at some points, but you're like, okay, you can live with that because he's getting the ball out in structure and finding open guys. He's not running into sacks as much, but he ran into a few sacks in the first half against the Ravens. And so they need to kind of get back to where they were with him. I think it's a one game thing. We haven't seen him do it. You know, he did it against the Jets for the first half. He did it in the first half of the Commanders game. In the second half, he kind of corrected it. So Russ, I think, is in the middle, Jack, of kind of fighting his instincts. Like, he wants to – there's part of Russ that wants to play like he's still 29, but he's not anymore. And he's kind of having to teach himself that. And you could see him fight it sometimes in the pocket where he'll want to run and then throw it. But I think he kind of gave into the urges a few bit. Too much in this one. So I thought that was the biggest thing with Russ. He just needs to operate more from the pocket, get the ball out quicker. If you look at when he holds the ball for over 3 seconds, I mean, it's hugely different. Both his interceptions came in those situations. He has no touchdowns when he holds the ball over 3 seconds. He is 200 yards less. His passer rating's 50 percentage points less. Like, it is significant. When he gets the ball out on time, though, Jack, and kind of trusts what Arthur Smith's called, he's doing well. So I think that's what they need to do and get back to that. And I also just – I don't need to see that many dropbacks from Russ. I thought he had so many dropbacks where, you know, they were kind of just reading the field, you know, not screens or under center with the play action stuff like they had. I don't need to see Russ having 25 true dropbacks in a game. He can have 15. I think he was a little overexposed at times. And yeah, it caps the ceiling of the offense. But I think inherently when you went into the season with Fields and Wilson, you acknowledged you would have some quarterbacking limitations, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't have a top 10. You didn't have Justin Herbert or back there. You didn't have Josh Allen. You didn't have Patrick Mahomes. You didn't have those guys. So you knew you were going to have a few limitations. But I don't think you need to overexpose Russ like that either.
Defensively, Joey Porter Jr. had a bounce back game. Joel Nelson has a question pertaining to the Steelers corner. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, Nick, earlier you mentioned the Amari Cooper trade and how it's opened up the window for Cedric Tillman. He's been a really reliable target for Jameis Winston. Would you anticipate Porter getting more snaps against Tillman or Jerry Jeudy on Thursday night, or could it be kind of even between the two?
Yeah, I don't expect him to travel too much. He kind of ended up traveling with Rashad Bateman against the Ravens. I don't know if that was really intentional, though. But I think he played 22 of his snaps against him. I think if you're going to travel Joey with somebody against his team, it would be Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy had a huge first half against the Saints. And he's really kind of found his stride as the wide receiver one with Jameis Winston. Winston gives him opportunities, but he's also kind of the type of player Joey has struggled against in the past. I think that is something to think about. But when you look at the big play machine in this offense, you know, a lot of it's come from Jeudy. Tillman's had a few big plays himself, but it's not a great matchup to have Tillman on Dante Jackson either, because the size mismatch and Dante at the top of routes can get thrown off. But I would rather kind of play it one by one. And what I mean by that is I don't think I'd have Joey follow anybody. You know, if Tillman comes up to his side, I do that. And if you kind of get him matched up with Jerry Jeudy, I think that's also a matchup you like. So you like Joey against any of these guys. And I think you should trust Dante and man-to-man against these, but you don't want to play as much man-to-man anyways. I don't think they're going to be blitzing as much this week as they were the past 2 weeks. I don't think they are going to look at that necessarily as a need to, because I think they're going to be able to win with four. I think they're going to be able to get after Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston naturally makes dangerous throws. So if I were the Steelers, with what Joey, if they had to travel him with somebody, I would travel him with Jerry Jeudy, take away the top target. But I imagine what they might do is just let him float. I wouldn't even be surprised if sometimes he's matched up against David Njoku. So we'll see. But I imagine he's just going to float around in this game rather than, you know, take on a true one-to-one man mirror guy like he did Amari Cooper last year.
Nick, before we let you go, a couple of keys for the Steelers to be able to get it done. I know Mike Tomlin gave Nick Chubb the Mr. treatment like he did to Lamar Jackson again in the press conference last week and then again this week. How much of a threat do you think Nick Chubb can provide despite, you know, a slow start coming back from injury? And, you know, ultimately, is that one of the keys that the Steelers need to do to be able to get it done is stop him?
I don't know how much he's going to play. Jerome Ford outsnapped Chubb by 20 snaps against the Saints. Just something to keep in mind. You know, the Browns know they're 2-8, and they're not going to run Nick Chubb into the ground. Because they obviously have aspirations to compete next year. And Nick Chubb looks solid. I mean, he's running through tackles. He doesn't look like full-on Nick Chubb was last year, but like for what he has done, Nick Chubb, I can't believe he's even playing the way he is right now, but he's getting better each week. So, yeah, he's an issue. But, you know, I've mentioned him a lot today, but if I were the Steelers, I'd be most worried about David Njoku. That's the guy I would be worried about the most. And again, I wonder what they're going to do to try and take him away. We saw Minkah Fitzpatrick roll up in man coverage against Mark Andrews last week. I wonder if they maybe try and kind of get Minkah on him more. But he's got to be the guy that they get out of the game. Like, they cannot let David Njoku get third down conversions and get open up the seam on them. So that is, I think, a significant issue for them. But Chubb, you know, if they let Chubb go off and get, you know, 5, 6, 7 yards per carry, they are going to be in trouble. Because I imagine with the weather, Jack, this is going to be somewhat of a run-heavy script for both teams. It just kind of is going to necessarily have to be. Because if the winds are 40 miles per hour coming off the lake, you're just not going to be able to push the ball through that wind. With how slippery it might be too. So you might have a run heavy script anyways. And so, yeah, Chubb can take over the game, but I think the biggest one is, you know, even in that scenario, you're gonna have to worry about screens. And Njoku is a tight end that can catch a screen and take it to the house from 80 yards. He is that type of athlete. So they better be careful about David Njoku. And he's had success against the Steelers in the past. So it's not like that would be anything new. But I'm interested to see how they handled that. But while Chubb is, I think, a problem, again, he hasn't had the full reps at running back yet because Jerome Ford outsnapping him. And I just think David Njoku is such a weapon that he is a huge worry. If Jameis Winston is going and feeling it at all, Njoku is a massive problem for the Steelers.
There he is, Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. Check him out at PennLive.com. Nick, as always, appreciate you taking some time. We'll do it again next week, and take care, brother. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jack. As always, appreciate it.
You got it. There he goes, Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. Coming up, Arthur Smith, he chatted today. He talked about Justin Fields, sprinkling him in, the fine line with that. And he also threw out a little teaser at the end of the clip I'm going to play, Jolie. I don't think it's very legitimate, and it's kind of funny. You'll hear it next on the Fan Evening Show at Sports Radio 93.7.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Join Joe Starkey at JP Roofing and Siding, Route 30 in Irwin on Wednesday, November the 20th. That is tomorrow. Live broadcast 10 to 2. Joe's going to be kicking off our Fan for the WIN campaign to benefit Women's Cancer and Shelter, Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. I apologize. Drop off a gift card from a retail location or grocery store that can go to a family who's displaced due to a domestic abuse. Anyone making a donation will get a pizza and a beverage courtesy of Bishop's Pizza in North Versailles and JP Roofing. Jack Hillgrove with you on the Fan Evening Show until 10:35, about another 3 hours or so. Hanging out, talking Steelers with you at 412-928-9370. Some good conversation on the phone lines. Let's keep that rolling. What needs to happen on Thursday night for you? Are you in the camp of a win's a win, short week against an AFC North opponent? I'll be happy if they squeak out of Cleveland with a W. Or are you like me and think, you know what? They're 8-2. An 8-2 team should beat up on a 2-8 football team. 412-928-9370. Late in the first period, the Penguins jump up on the Lightning 1-0. Jesse Puljujärvi is kind of putting the team on his back, Jolie. He's got a goal, the lone goal in the game. Pens lead at 1-0, but he's got four shots. Four of the Penguins, nine. Playing like a man possessed out there is Jesse Puljujärvi. So the Penguins are up 1-0. All right. Arthur Smith, he talked today. And he talked about Justin Fields and sprinkling him into the offense. And if you're like me, and you look at what Taysom Hill did against the Browns on Sunday, and you see the red zone woes continue with the Steelers, and you look at the weather forecast for Thursday, there's no better opportunity, at least I think, for Justin Fields to be expanded upon a little bit more in the game plan as far as being able to run the football. So here's about a 2-minute clip of Arthur Smith talking about getting Justin Fields incorporated. And at the end, he drops maybe a little foreshadowing. Jolie, have you heard this part? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say foreshadowing?
Not yet.
Okay, you'll get a kick out of it. Here's Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line, you know, to do it. I don't view Justin as a, you know, in this role as a gadget guy. I mean, Justin to me is we've got two starting quarterbacks and he's a hell of a football player. And so if he can help the team, and there is a fine line. And as I've done it a little bit in my past, we did it on the stretch with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, but different situation. So when you have the opportunity, we've had things up and it's the way the game was going and throw something at him and put another dynamic football player out there. That certainly helped us. Helped us in situational football. That was 19. We did it at the end. I mean, we did it with two quarterbacks. I mean, there was a pass that Marcus had. Ryan was out wide out against Houston at the end of the year. Marcus was in there and, you know, one quarterback and a couple plays in the New England playoff game, Baltimore game with Derek through the jump pass. So we used it in the Kansas City. Different situation, a little bit different players, but, you know, I still view Justin, and he is. I think he could premium starter in this league, and so that's a fine line. You don't want to be a gadget guy, but he can help the team, and he's one of the better football players out there.
All right, the first two times you used it, we brought him in, you were kind of behind the chains, like second 11, mm-hmm. 7 and 10. I mean, I know it might be circumstantial, but is that kind of the situation that you're looking for?
I was actually looking to get to it earlier, and you know, we stalled out on too many third downs, and then, you know, we did have a few third and longs, but too many third and shorts that we stalled out on. We got to do a better job there. You know, stalled out some drives early in the game, and so you didn't really get into a rhythm of it. So, as you get through it, you know, I gave him a heads up, and then we went back to it and just felt like that was the best call we had in that situation to get something going. And
here it comes, Joel. You ready?
You know, worked out. I think we got 8 yards on that one.
Yeah. So you'll flank Russ out occasionally?
What's that?
You'll flank Russ out occasionally?
We'll see.
Uh-oh. The question from Jerry Dulac. Will you flank Russ out? We'll see. Is Justin Fields going to be throwing a little dipsy-do pass to Mr. Unlimited? Maybe a Yinzer special.
I was just going to say, the Philly special in Cleveland, I guess, right?
I doubt it. I think it's quite simple. I think you throw Justin Fields into the offense in the red zone exclusively. I think there's no problem with that. If you go back and you look at the numbers in the red zone with Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson when Fields was starting, the red zone touchdown numbers are much higher. Now, what makes the Steelers' offense better around Russell Wilson is that in 6 Justin Fields games, the Steelers have had 11 opportunities. In 6 Justin Field games, the Steelers have had 11 opportunities inside the opponent's 10-yard line. And the Steelers have had the same amount in 4 games under Russell Wilson. So in 2 less starts, Russ was able to get the same amount of opportunities inside the opponent's 10 than Justin Fields. So that's what makes Russell Wilson a better starting quarterback for the Steelers than Justin Fields. But once you get into that situation, the Steelers scored 8 touchdowns in those 11 opportunities. And with Russell Wilson, it's like 4 or 5 in those 11. So, yeah, you know what? Have it be one of those situations where you get it into the red zone. First play out of the red zone, Justin Fields. Maybe even the first 2. It gives you an opportunity to capitalize more in red zone situations. Not just taking into account the pure athletic ability of Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson, but you look at the pedigree this year too. Russell Wilson hasn't been as successful of a red zone quarterback than Justin Fields has. And this year, and I must say, it's kind of nice to look at the Steelers offense and nitpick at a couple of things and not all of them, all of the things for offense. And I think Arthur Smith, for the most part, has done a pretty damn good job as the Steelers offensive coordinator. But the red zone is a concern. 44% this year. That's 30th in the league. And in the last 3 weeks, they're 31st in the league in red zone efficiency. But the good news is, in the last 3 weeks, you know the one team, Joel, in the red zone that's worse than the Steelers? Take a guess.
I feel like it's the Chicago Bears.
It is not. It is the opponent for this week. It's the Browns.
How about that?
Which is nice. So I'm all in the camp of Justin Fields. The moment that ball gets into the red zone, play number one for Fields. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But I have a feeling that it might. 412-928-9370, that is the number. I want to hear from you. What do you need to see out of these Steelers on Thursday? Blowout or a win is a win? Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That's the number. I want to hear from you. All that good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Hopefully more of your phone calls, but if not, more Steelers talk before Noah Hyles joins the fold at 8 o'clock, talking Paul Skeens and the Pirates offseason. That's on tap for the remainder of the show. Stephen Thompson at 9 o'clock as well, talking Pitt from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's next. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Jack Hillgrove. I'm with you until 10:35 tonight. We're talking Steelers and Browns. Got somebody waiting patiently on the fan hotline. It's Lucky in Pittsburgh. Thanks for waiting. What's going on?
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. What's up?
You're bringing up Browns blowout win or just a win is a win for Thursday?
Yeah. Where do you land? Where do you fall?
So, Steelers fan, I got to keep it real. A win is a win. You know what I mean? Obviously, I want the blowout. I want everything to happen. I thought it was interesting what you said with the stat, with the red zone completions and the touchdowns, too. You know, I'm happy that we're using Fields now. I think he should come in for a lot of the third and ones. But, you know, I'd love a 30-0, 37-0, something like that. And he needs to kind of throw Fields in later, but I'll just take the win as a win.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Lucky. Thanks for listening. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, let me clarify. I don't anticipate nor expect 37-0. I don't expect 52-6 or whatever it was with Detroit over Jacksonville. Like, we had a texter chime in and mention that I didn't mention that the line was only 3.5. No one thinks it should be a blowout. Well, I mean, the line for the Lions and Jags was only 14.5, and it ended up ballooning to 40 plus. Just because this line is 3.5 doesn't mean I don't think the Steelers can win and cover and cover easily and win the game by 10, 13 points. I said two possessions or more. If the Steelers go out and win this game on Thursday, I almost said Sunday because I haven't done a show leading up to a Thursday night game yet. I'm surprised they haven't slipped up until now. If the Steelers go out and win this game on Thursday night, 20-10, but I get to watch and I can say to myself at the end of the game, you know what? I really didn't fear that the Steelers were in jeopardy of blowing this lead. Like, if they go wire to wire with a lead from kickoff to game end and they win 20-10 or 17-6, I'm through the roof ecstatic. I just don't need this game to be 6-6 at halftime or 9-7 at halftime like it was with the Ravens. That's something that shouldn't be happening against the 2-8 football team, and I don't care that they're an AFC North opponent. Detroit went out and beat a team bad, and it kind of exceeded expectations in that regard. A lot of the NFL power rankings I've seen out there have had Detroit number one in convincing fashion because of the performance they put together against the Jags. Again, I'm not asking for that. Just a score that reflects that the Steelers were the better team and that it was never in doubt. Another texter, zero chance they put Fields in on every single red zone trip. I understand that, but I just wish that they would, because it's been better under Justin Fields. And if you look at Justin Fields' body of work, in addition to his more efficient red zone numbers than Russell Wilson, Justin Fields has a 66% completion percentage this year, and he takes care of the football. And that one interception, Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, against the Chargers, I don't think that took place in the reds or in Chargers territory, let alone the red zone. I could be wrong, but I feel like that they were on the other side of the field when that was going on. I can double check real quick. Yeah, that was at the Chargers 41. So, high completion percentage, the ability to run the football and be very athletic at the position and take care of the football in the red zone. I would like to see more Justin Fields in the red zone over Russell Wilson, at least to start. Fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Guess what? It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Cloudy and rainy tonight, low of 58. And chance of the showers continue Wednesday, high of 68, low of 38. And some snow on Thursday. It's going to get cold. And the holiday season is just around the corner. I guess we'll save the Thanksgiving talk for next week, right, Joel? I'm on with you next Tuesday, I believe. Yeah, we'll save the Thanksgiving drafts and all that stuff for next week, but that's quickly approaching as well. Hard to believe we're already at, what, week 12 in the NFL season and end of November. It is moving along quick. And before you know it, baseball season will be here. And the Pirates will have the reigning National League Rookie of the Year anchoring the pitching staff, and maybe not just the reigning NL Rookie of the Year, but one of, if not the best pitcher in all of baseball. Let's get some Pirates talk in here too at 412-928-9370. It's got to come after we talk to Pirates beat writer Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins the show next. We're going to talk about Paul Skenes winning NL Rookie of the Year, what it does for the Pirates moving forward, and some off-season talk with Noah. He had an article in the PG at the beginning of the month laying out a lot of off-season targets for the Pirates and classifications from splash signings, splash trades, to middle-of-the-road guys, to sleeper picks, both of in free agency and via trade. So we'll talk to Noah about all of that, who he likes, and if it's feasible for the Pittsburgh Pirates. All that's coming up next on the Fan Evening Show, right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.